of sin and what that was doing in our world and what that was doing in our souls and what that did in our relationship with God. And I found it very interesting that to study that and to really get into it and to spend hours and hours and hours studying the study of sin. But the next favorite class that I had was soteriology, which was this the study of salvation. And when you start marrying those two classes together, you see the magnitude of sin. You see the effects of sin, which I don't think we really can appreciate. The effects and the magnitude of sin. But then you see the effects and the magnitude of salvation. And the soteriology was that study of that salvation. And I want to run you through a short course of soteriology this morning. And I want to study the gift of salvation and what God has for us. We can spend some time, and we need to spend some time studying sin and the ramifications of sin. Because sometimes I think we think we're okay. We're almost there. We're doing all right. And then realizing that sin has separated us from God. But I want to spend some time this morning studying salvation, studying the soteriology, studying that gift that God has given us. And I want to do that through going through Romans chapter 9 and 10, because I think that's what Paul was doing to the church of Rome. I think he was coming down to this conclusion. He had spent the first three or four chapters of Romans studying harmatology or the sin and what the sin has done. But now he's got to the point where he wants to break out salvation. He wants them to know that the salvation is in the works and salvation is available for all that would call on the name of the Lord. Even though the magnitude of sin is great and it's separated us from God and it'll continue to separate us from God for all of creation, all of time, all of eternity. But he throws this in there. He said, you got to know this. You got to know that God has salvation in store for you and me. And so chapter 9, we pick it up in verses 31, 30 and 31. I want to study that salvation. Look what he says. That saved, that soteria is rescued or brought to safety, delivered or made healthy. It's saved. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles did not pursue righteousness, have obtained it. They did not pursue it, but they have attained it. A righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. This righteousness that they were after, this righteousness that one group of people have received and have obtained, the other one did not. When one tried to pursue it by their own efforts, and one tried to pursue it and received it, and one group of people did not receive it. Verse 32, this righteousness, this right standing with God is what the righteousness is talking about there. They wanted a right standing with God. They wanted to be okay with God. And they knew that something was going awry in their life. They knew that they weren't okay with God. He said this one group of people have obtained that, have received that righteousness or that right relationship with God. And this other group have not received this right relationship with God. And he's going to compare those two groups of people. And look what he says. Why not? Why did not the second group receive this right relationship with God? Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. They received it not because they had not, they received it, they thought it was by works, and it was not by works. It was by faith, and they were trying to accomplish their way to God. And they said, they're stumbling over this stumbling stone. They're stumbling over something that God has done, that they can have this salvation. Listen, I expect many of us sitting in this parking lot today have experienced salvation in our lives. And I want us to celebrate that we are the ones who have found salvation, that we have received this righteousness, this right relationship with God. But as we're going to continue to uncover at the end of chapter 10, we're going to see that there's people who have not received it yet. So have we received it? Okay, let's praise God. If there are people who have not received it, we need to be carriers of that message, just like Paul was a carrier of that message to the city of Rome. So I want you to smile that you have received a right relationship with God, but I also want you to be burdened by those who have not received it. Paul is burdened by those who have not received this right relationship with God. He said they have not received it because they think it can be worked for, and they stumble over the stumbling block. Look what he says there in verse 33. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The right relationship with God by faith, not by works, befuddles some people. He said, that's the problem. They think they can work their way to God. They can be good enough or God would receive them. They'd be good enough or they can have this relationship with God. If they just behaved enough, if they just followed enough of the law. But when they realize that it's by faith, you trust in something, in an individual, it's a stumbling block to them. It's a stumbling block, and they have not received it. He's burdened for those that have not received that salvation or that right relationship with God. Maybe that's even you today, and maybe you're struggling with that concept. He said, I don't want you to struggle with that concept, Paul says. I know that some are struggling with that concept, that it befuddles them, it confuses them that they can receive this salvation from God. And it's not something you have to work for, because I'm so used to working for everything in this world. I'm so used to having a wage. I'm so used to getting what I put into it, I get out of it. I'm so used to of working hard for something I want. And now God wants to take care of the sin in my life and give me salvation, but it has nothing to do with my works. He said there's a group of people that really struggle with that. It's a stumbling block for them. And maybe that's even us today or you today. Maybe you're struggling with the concept that God's got something for you that he wants to give you. Well, look at Romans 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved, is that they may be soteria, so that they may be rescued, they may be brought to safety, that they may be delivered or made healthy. I wonder how my heart is in this world today if I'm burdened for those who don't have a right relationship with God. Paul says it is my heart, my heart's desire and prayer to God, that those who do not have this right relationship with God, those that don't have not experienced this salvation yet, my heart is burdened for them. I weep over that. I want them to know, he says, my heart is hurting for them, for those that do not have a right relationship with God. Verses 2 and 3, he says, for I can testify about them. They are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. And what he's saying there, he says, they try to work it out for themselves. You can't work it out for yourself. Sin is too great. You can't work it out for yourself. They started to work it out for themselves. They had their own plan. I can get to God if I do this. If I behave enough, or if I read enough, or I go to church enough, if I abide by the law enough, if I read enough, if I stop doing wrong things, if I do enough good things, and somehow God will look at me, and somehow God will receive me, and somehow God will have this right relationship with me. They thought they could establish their own way to God. I'm telling us right now, if you're going to establish our own way to God, it's not a way to God. God has already established a way to him. There is not many roads that lead to God. There is one road that leads to God. God's already got that road paved. And he said, this group of people are trying to figure out another way to God. There's not another way to God. They try to work it out for themselves. You can't work it out for yourself. They try to pay their own debt. It's too costly. You can't pay your own debt. They were very zealous. They were energetic. They were passionate. They were tenacious enthusiasm. But it was based on their own knowledge. They denied God's way. They didn't want anything to do with God's way. I'll work it out for myself. I did a funeral for a lady one time. And I was informed by a member of her family after this lady had passed away. I was informed by her family that they would take care of her salvation now that she's dead. That's another way to God. God says, you're not going to get to me by another way. I've already paved the way. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you want to come to God on your own terms. Or maybe we don't really have burden for the world that doesn't know Christ, that doesn't know this right relationship with God. And we've come to believe that they got their own way to God. They're good. They're okay. Their journey is okay, rather than us being burdened for the lostness of mankind, the loss in this world. And God has had this salvation for us, and he's got this sin that he's taking care of for people in their lives and in their souls, so they don't have to be separated from God. And you and I have that message. We're going to see that in just a few minutes. You and I have that message to take to a world. Are we burdened for the world? Are we burdened for the lost? Are we burdened for those who don't have a right relationship with God? Are we convinced ourselves that they got their own thing going on? They're okay. People that don't have a right relationship with God are not okay. Paul knows that. Paul is burdened for that. Verse 4. Look what he says. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be a righteousness for everyone who believes. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be a righteousness or a right relationship for everyone who believes. Jesus holds the patent on the right relationship with God. Not only does he own the patent, but he is the way. All of a sudden, Paul's talked in Romans. He said, okay, here it is. You got a group of people that have it, a group of people that don't have it. You got a founder. You got ones with the right relationship with God. You got those who don't have it. I'm telling you, who holds the patent, who owns the way? It's Jesus that owns the way. And anyone who would believe in him, it says, so Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be a righteousness for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Paul says, here is salvation. It's in Jesus Christ. He did it. You can have this right relationship with God. You can have this right relationship with God through Christ, Paul says. Jesus is the owner and the patent carrier and the way himself. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Listen to what he says here in verse 5. Moses describes it in this way, the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things lives by them, will live by them. This is what he's saying there, I think. You got a problem. If you think you can obtain this right relationship with God by following the law, that means you got to follow the law every single day, every single moment of every single day. You can never not follow the law. You can never not do the right thing or not do the wrong thing. He said the problem for this, for Moses, even Moses, he said, even Moses said you can't do this. Even Moses said you got to keep the whole entire law every single moment of every single day just to break even with God. You think you can do it? You're mistaken. Even Moses says you're mistaken. There's at least two problems. You got to keep the law perfectly for all of your life. Number two, Jesus already paid it all. So keeping the law is off the table. Are you with me this morning? Keeping the law is off the table. Why? Because Jesus has already paid it all. Moses says, even Moses, Paul says, even Moses says you're not going to be able to obtain righteousness or this right relationship with God through your works because you can't do it. Because you can't keep it. Do you want a right relationship with God? And so Paul's saying it's in Christ. It's not in keeping the law. Is the law important? Certainly it is. The law guides us in righteous living. The law guides us in how we live out our faith. And the law guides us, and God speaks to us through His law and through His word. I'm not discounting the word. I'm not discounting the law. I'm just saying that the salvation does not come through the law. Salvation comes through Christ. Because Jesus paid it all. Look at verses 6 and 7. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. That righteousness that is by faith, faith does not lose time trying to figure out how to get to God. Faith receives what God has done. Doesn't that sound a little weird to you? I mean, just as I say that, even say that out loud. And I wanted to preach this message in the open air. I was so hoping it wasn't going to rain today. I was so hoping I could move around. This is after I've been through what I've been through in my health, what I've been through in this country, what we've been through in the last few days, what's going on in our country. I had to recenter myself. I said, you know what? It's about Christ and Him crucified. It's about salvation for mankind. God left me here so I could be saved. God's patience means salvation for all mankind that will believe. Christ needs to be lifted high. Jesus needs to be exalted. And as I sat in my office, I said, I gotta recenter. God, what do you want me to do? He says, it's about Christ. I sent my son to do the work. Do you have a burden for the lost people? Do you have a burden for the lost? Somebody had a burden for you. And faith does not lose time trying to figure out how to have a right relationship with God. Look at verse 8 says, but what does it say? What does it say? What does faith say? Was it all of a sudden God's knocking on your door? And God's saying, that's me, I'm knocking on your door. What does faith say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. Faith says you don't have to make your own way to heaven. Faith says you do not have to go into the land of the dead to figure it out. Faith said it is here. It is here now. Salvation is here now. Christ is still on the throne. Christ is still dispensing salvation into people's lives. Grace is still being abounded in people's lives. People are coming to Christ today because God's drawing them. Faith says it is here. It's here today. Not trying to figure out how to get there or figure out how to drag it up out of the dead. It's here. Faith says it is here today. Look what he says in 9 and 10. That if you confess, here's what we're proclaiming. You want to know the gift of salvation? Here it comes. Soteriology 101, 202, 303, and 404. All in verse 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be made healthy in your spirit. You will be made strong in your soul. You will have this right relationship with God. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. If you confess, it says, if you agree with. Do you agree with that this morning? That Jesus really did pay it all, and all to him we owe. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if you'll confess with your mouth, if you'll confess it, if you'll believe it, if you'll agree with it, I'm done trying to figure out my own way to God. I'm done trying to figure out my own relationship with God, how to write my relationship with God. I'm going to confess that Jesus is Lord, is what the scriptures say, that Jesus is the Lord. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lived in bodily form, it says in Colossians. And you have been given the fullness of Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Do you believe that Jesus, I'm just going to simplify it this way for myself, do you believe that Jesus can give you this? Let me say it again. Let me say it to this side. Do you believe that Jesus can give you that salvation today? Do you think he has the authority to give you that salvation today? Do you think he has the power to give you salvation today? Do you think he has the authority to take care of the sin in your life? Do you think he has the power to take care of the sin in your life? That's what it's saying. You've got to believe that Jesus has the power to take care of the sin. That Jesus has the authority to give you salvation. That Jesus has the right to give you salvation. That Jesus has bought salvation and he can give it to you because nothing can stop him because he is Lord. So you've got to believe that Jesus can bring it to you. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how down and out you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are. It doesn't matter if you're healthy or if you're sick. Nothing can stop Jesus from bringing you salvation. You got to believe that Jesus is Lord. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, through that resurrection, Jesus becomes the mediator and the redeemer. Do you believe that Jesus mediates or stands and ready to give you this right relationship with God? That what he has given you is a right relationship with God. That he is the mediator. He is the redeemer. He can buy your soul from the pits of hell. He has the funds. He has the ability. He has the power and he has the authority to buy you off the slavery block of sin. He has that. He is the Redeemer. He is living. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. No matter what men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I see him working. I know that he's there. He is the Redeemer. He is the Mediator. He is the Lord. Paul says that's soteriology. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. He's ready to justify you. Jesus is the Redeemer, he's the Mediator, he's the Lord, but he's also the Justifier. And you know what that means? That means to give you a right relationship with God. You know what that means? If you need to be justified to have a right relationship with God, you don't have one right now. Because sin has separated you from God. Harmatology. Sin is powerful. Sin is a separator. Sin will drive you off the edge. And Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is the Redeemer, and Jesus is the Mediator, and Jesus is the Justifier. Don't worry. You don't have to work your way there. You don't have to get enough right. You don't have to get enough check marks, good marks. You don't have to get enough A's. You don't have to. You don't have to. The faith says it is here now. It's here. That if you confess, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, it is with your mouth you are that you confess and are saved. You know what I think that means? I think when this goes on inside of you, when this receiving, this salvation that God has for you, this right relationship with God, that it's going to make an external difference in your life. That when this internal thing goes on, when this internal thing goes on in my life, all of a sudden there's some external things that are happening in my life as well. And you've heard it said, and I've had it said about me. He was one guy at this point, and then all of a sudden something happened in his life, and now he's a completely different person. Because all of a sudden now this inside thing that's going on, this inside occurrence that has happened in my life, this right relationship with God that has just been given to me, all of a sudden it starts to guide my way through this life. It starts to make me different. As it is said in verse 11, as the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Anyone who trusts in Christ will never find out that they were deceived in believing that Jesus is the Lord, the mediator, the redeemer, and the justifier. What a guarantee. What a guarantee. You'll never find yourself finding out, man, that wasn't the right way. Jesus was not the right way. Paul says, you're going to find out that Jesus was and is the right way. You will never be put to shame when you believe in Christ. What a guarantee. Look at verses 12 and 13. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. There is no difference. There is no difference in Jew or Gentile. There is no difference in people. There is no difference. Nothing makes you different. There is no difference in the Jew or Gentile. It's the same Lord. The same Lord is Lord over all. You're no different. I'm no different. You're not separated any more than I am. The gift of salvation is no more right to me than it is to anyone else. He's the same Lord. He lords over all. Jesus is the Lord. Not just the Lord of a certain country. Not just the Lord of a certain denomination. Not just the Lord of a certain ethnic group. He is Lord over all. And he'll richly bless all who call on his name. Whoo. The same Lord is the Lord over all and richly blesses all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be soterio. Will be made healthy. Will be given this right relationship with God. And that right relationship will begin to give you the steps in life. The right relationships will begin to fold you and mold you into the men and women, into the man and the woman that he wants you to be. Sometimes we try so hard to be what God wants us to be, and we're not in a right relationship with God because we haven't received salvation. I believe, Jesus, you are the Lord, the mediator, and the redeemer. Lord, I believe that you are the justifier. Are you with me this morning? We're almost done. I believe that Jesus, you are the Lord, and the mediator, the redeemer, and the justifier. I know I'm not in a right relationship with God. I desire to be justified. I desire to be given a right relationship with God. Jesus, I know that you are the Lord, that you are the mediator. You're there now. You're there dispensing this salvation into my life. I know that you bought me. I know that you are the Redeemer. I know that I'm not lined up with God. I know that I don't have a right relationship with God. I want that today. I want that today. Is that you? Is that you crying out to God, said, I want that right relationship with you today, God? The second group of people here today. Again, let me just say, if you're here today and you don't have a right relationship with God, today's the day. And if you don't know, and I've confused you more today with this demonstration or this proclamation from Romans 9 and 10, again, just let me say, you got to believe it. Jesus, he can bring it to your life right now. You need to do nothing other than let him bring it to you today. You need to realize that you don't have a right relationship with God. And you need to believe that Jesus is the Lord, the mediator, and the redeemer. And he'll bring you a right relationship with God. Let me finish with the last two verses of this chapter. Let me talk to those of us who have received salvation or have received this gift from God, and we do have a right relationship with God, and God is guiding our steps each and every moment of each and every day, making us into the men and women he wants us to be. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they do it? Paul said, how can they call on somebody they cannot believe in? They don't even know about Christ. They don't know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They don't know that Jesus is the Redeemer. They don't know that Jesus can give them a right relationship with God. How can they believe? They don't even know. How can they call? They don't believe. How can they believe in the one they have not heard? Careful, here it goes. How can they believe in the one they have not heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, the gospel. You know what the gospel is? It's that right relationship with God. And Paul ends this series on soteriology with this. There are those that don't know, and they don't know because they have not heard. Those of you who have heard need to go tell those who have not heard. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So one group of us this morning ought to be, I need that in my life today. And the other group of us ought to be, I know someone who needs that in their life, and I'm going to begin to be burdened for them. God, burden my heart for them. Burden my heart for the lost. Burden my heart for the lost. Because I want them to be able to call on the one. And I know they need to know before they can call on Jesus. And I want to be the one that brings the good news to them. And I want to be the one who will bring salvation paid for by Jesus. And I want to be able to say, Jesus paid it all. All to him you owe. This morning you've been handed this, when you come in, this communion cup. And if you just get that out right now, Jesus left this for his disciples to say this very thing that we have said today. He said, I want you to tell them this. I want you to know this, that do this in remembrance of me. Do this that I was on the cross and my body was broken for you because I loved you. And my blood was shed so that I could bring you salvation, so I could give you this right relationship with God. And if you take off just the clear part on top, you're going to find out that there's a wafer under there. And if it doesn't pull out, get your pocket knife out. And listen, as you take out that wafer, this wafer that may look like a piece of plastic to you, we're not here for a cooking class. We're here to celebrate salvation that has been brought to us from Christ. So this morning, let me pray. God, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you paid it all. Thank you that you shed your blood. Your body was broken for us so that you can bring us salvation. You went to the cross, Jesus. Not only for us, but for all who will call on your name. So, Father, thank you for that gift today. Thank you for this memorial. Thank you for remembering with this simple wafer and a little bit of juice that we can remember that Jesus loves us, that Jesus went to the cross for us, that you spilt your blood, Jesus, that you could buy us and give us a right relationship with God. Father, I thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat the bread together. And if you pull off the aluminum part of this and expose the juice, and such a simple reminder of a little few ounces of juice that would remind us that Jesus loves us so much that he went to the cross for us. And his blood was shed. I can remember one of the professors in one of my classes, Theology 101. Dr. Fairman, I'm a few months old in the Lord, and I'm sitting in Theology 101 with Dr. Fairman, who has been teaching this class for over 20 years. He'd been teaching the same class to a new group of students every single year for over 20 years. And he got to the part in the scripture where he's reading Jesus from the cross. And he began to read that scripture, and he looked up, and then he said these words, and Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished." And as Dr. Fairman said those words, his voice cracked and he began to weep. 20 years he'd been teaching that same class, and he still could not say, "It is finished," quoting Jesus from the cross, without it creating an emotion in him. And I can remember that day, and I said, "Jesus, I want that. I want that passion. I never want that to go away. I want to know that you finished it on the cross. Your blood was shed." Let's drink together. Father, thank you for this day. Father, take any words that I've said that are valuable and remind us of them. Take any mud that I've added and clean it out. Father, I got to say again, I know there's a lot going on in our world. But I also know that Jesus is doing a lot. There are people coming to Jesus every single day. And Father, I pray that some in this parking lot today have started a new relationship with you. And I pray that the rest of us, our hearts would be burdened for those that don't have a right relationship with you, God. That we would not get caught up in the things of this world and lose sight of the gift of salvation that you have given us and that you want us to give to others. Recenter us, God. Recenter me. God, I love you. And I know that that's because you first loved me. You took a old broken guy. And you didn't expect me to do anything other than receive you. And then through the years, you've lit me up. I pray that you would light us up. Jesus, you paid it all. All to you I owe. God, thank you again for the day. Thank you for the men and women in this room, so to speak, in this setting, in this parking lot, in this yard. Father, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find